0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon. You are very welcome to Liveline. Katie Hannan with you until three today. And I want to go now to Una. Una, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Katie. How are you doing?
Good, Una. Una, you were watching President Zelensky's address to the joint houses of the Oireachtas today.
Oh, God, yeah. Your heart will go out to him because he's pleading with the West to help this invasion. I don't call it a war. This invasion by Putin, President Putin, into Ukraine, a democratic country. And I find it unbearable to listen to and watch and feel that you're doing nothing, and you can do little bits, you know, to help these people in Ukraine. And I reached out to the churches because I thought maybe the church, because the Pope has come out strongly against the invasion, and I thought maybe the Russian church here, the Orthodox church here in Dublin, I'd rang them and asked them would they, you know, condone what's happening and intervene with the patriarch in Moscow, Kirill, I think his head name is.
But, yeah, he's just in case people aren't tuned in to that lad, if we call him that. This is the head of the Russian Orthodox Church, Patriarch Kirill. And he, he is very closely aligned with Putin and has absolutely defended the invasion, said, "We absolutely do not strive for war or do anything that could harm others." But he said, "We've been raised throughout our history to love our fatherland, and we'll be ready to protect it as only Russians can defend their country." So what happened? You rang the Dublin.
I rang the Dublin church there to say, you know, to ask him to intervene and pray that, But, I mean, to say, to get through to Putin, to touch his spirit, and if he has a spirit, to sort of say, listen, condemn what's happening, and maybe get it to his, touch his heart, if he had a heart. And it's up to the church to reach out to them, because he is a Christian.
Did they answer the phone?
He said to me, "We'll pray for Ukraine." Right.
Una. Who answered the phone? Who were you talking to? Do you know?
I won't say his name, but one of the churchmen in the Orthodox Church in Dublin.
Oh,
in
right.
The diocese
okay.
There. Yeah. Spoke with him. It's a mobile phone. Everybody can find it. You know, it's on internet and whatever. But I rang him and he was very sort of dismissive, I felt. And I felt, as I said, the expression is, if we even could cry of one man does nothing. And he says then, nothing, I can't do nothing. He said, but pray. And I said, for God's sake, I said, you know, I really got upset because we can do something. We can reach out to the church, which is, I mean, in Russia, you've got an amazing, I was in Moscow, so I know the church that Yeltsin built when Stalin knocked it down. Excuse me. A huge fountain. And then, Putin is a big, sponsor of the church. You know, and I think, please do something to stop this invasion.
And the response was, we can only pray.
We can only pray. And then I rang another Russian Orthodox priest in Leash.
Fair play to you, Una. You're a woman on a mission.
Yeah, I am. Because, I mean, I'm trying to do something, you know. I mean, we can all do something. And maybe all the churches in Ireland can reach out to this Russian Orthodox Church here in Ireland. I said, you're living in a democratic country. This is a safe haven, I said, for you. And I said, maybe you're afraid to speak out against Putin. And he just hung up the phone on me.
This is the Orthodox priest in Leash.
Yeah, in Leash.
What would you want them to do, though? What were you actually asking the...
I'd want them, because they're so close to, as I said, Putin loves his church. You know, it's hypocritical, you know. But, I mean, they are very close to him. And anybody close to him, surely, should reach out and tell him what he's doing is wrong. But somebody has to say to him what he's doing is wrong, because the Russian people, you see them on television the whole time, and they're seemingly brainwashed and propaganda, you know. But when the church man I rang today, he said, don't believe everything you see on television.
Oh, that's what he said. He said, don't believe everything.
Don't believe everything you see on television.
Yeah, you see, there is that idea that the Russian people are supporting. We're hearing that there's opinion polls saying they're 70% supporting him. But, but I mean, some of it could be fear, but some of it could be that they have been.
You had Nadal today, didn't you, when Zelensky was making his speech? We four members of the Dáil didn't applaud.
Yeah, this is the People Before Profit TDs. The four of them, they stood. They said out of you know, respect to the Ukrainian people, but they didn't applaud because they said because Zelensky, President Zelensky, was calling for tougher sanctions, and they think that sanctions are not a good idea. They think that they hurt ordinary Russian people and they bolster Putin's case within Russia.
If you're affecting the ordinary Russian people, would the Russian people then say, what's going on? Why are we treated like this? Then they'd ask questions, say, why are we cut off from all these factories and modern companies that are here in the, from the West? Then they ask questions, surely, and say, there must be something going on. Somebody must be saying to somebody out there, Russia. It's a big country. I was in Moscow. I know what they think there. And they're surely on the media. I met Russian people here in Dublin, when I was up in Dublin outside the Russian embassy. And they cried outside the Russian embassy, saying what is happening in their country. They do not like it, you know, and they're standing with Ukraine.
Yeah, I mean...
So I think for the People Before Profit to say something like that is just cobwebbles.
It's a tough enough stance for them to take, though. I mean, I know you were watching, as you said. So, you know, there was a huge amount of emotion in the Dáil chamber when Zelensky finished.
I actually had a tear at it.
Yeah.
You have to stand united, Katie. You see, that's what's happening. If you get so many companies coming out, pulling out of Russia, and then four or five stay there, that doesn't make it an impact. The impact isn't working. You have to hit the ordinary people in the street. I know it's hard. We have a company here in Shannon and in Foynes. Ogonish, you know, that's now Russell. That's a Russian oligarch. I can't pronounce that word.
The oligarch.
Yeah. I mean, that's. I know we have 500 people employed there, but is that not double standards again? You know, we have to stand united against tyranny of Putin. And it's not a war. I don't want to call it a war. It's an invasion. I mean,
so you think that we're protecting, you know, we're more worried about our jobs in the Midwest?
Absolutely. We could turn that plant in Foynes into wind generation. That port is very deep, and you could have wind and turbines there to renewable energy. We could reuse it. I mean, the pollution there is scandalous, number one, you know. And I call that Russian blood or Ukrainian blood when I see that red dye coming through the land there. My heart was out.
Una, like when you saw, I mean, as you say, you were watching it live. When you saw the People Before Profit TDs standing but not applauding,
shocking, absolutely disgraceful. We should stand united. Shocking. You can't have double standards, you know, and they have double standards.
Oh no, I do. To be fair, now they're very clear about their standards.
I know,
and they have a very particular view, which is that
you're entitled to a view, but you have to stand united. I mean, for those people standing up and not applauding is very weak, very weak.
Well, let me just say, there's a statement in from People Before Profit saying, we stood in solidarity and respect for Ukraine people and for their president. The war crimes they're suffering at the hands of Putin, we disagree with, and the war crimes they're suffering at the hands of Putin. But we disagree with calls that he made previously for NATO involvement, which we think would escalate an already dangerous situation, and the call for further sanctions, which we fear will weaken the opposition to Putin in Russia. That Putin is using these sanctions as a way of, you know, boosting morale internally in Russia and, you know, telling the Russian people, look, you know, it's us against the world now, so we have to stick together. And
you know how corrupt Russia is. I know myself personally how corrupt Russia. We have an awful history with Russia. We lost 3 million in Russia, our personal money. But that's on a book coming out. But I just feel that, I mean, we cannot turn a blind eye to what's happening. And this is the only way we can affect pressure on Russia, on Putin, to have amazing sanctions against them. I think the people not delivering the oil to the Russian embassy, it's a little gesture, but it speaks a lot of words.
It sure does. And we know, of course, that the Russian ambassador was forced to write to the Foreign Affairs Department seeking intervention in that case because they were running, they couldn't heat their water or heat the building. Stay with us there. I want to bring in Nick Kozlov. Nick, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Katie. I'm listening.
Nick, you were down at the Dáil today or outside Leinster House while that speech was being delivered.
Yes, we were. Ukrainian Crisis Centre organised a gathering to support President Zelensky's speech outside Leinster Gates. And it was a good number of people, plenty of media. There was a representative of Ukrainian newcomers. They just came, and the people who were there, like me, much longer. And there was a children from St. Joseph's School in Fairview with two representatives, and one of them was their principal, Kevin, which we're so grateful. And he took about 15 Ukrainian children into the school, and they performed Ukrainian anthem. And the Irish children that was there as well performed an Irish anthem. And then they exchanged flags, and that represent the support of Ireland and Irish people and Irish government of Ukraine and Ukrainian people. That was very touchy and very warm atmosphere. And our message was to thank Irish public for the great support.
And what I was going to say, were you able to watch it on screens or how did you follow the actual address?
No, Katie, we didn't watch it. We listened. We have a small PA system and we broadcast it for the people just outside the Leinster House gates.
So you wouldn't have been aware then of the issue that Una was referring to there of the TDs that didn't applaud your president?
No, I didn't see that, but I've heard about it, and I have to comment Una's. It seems like many ordinary Irish citizens has a sense and understanding and the solidarity with Ukraine, and I have to praise her for that. It makes sense to me what she's saying, but in order to comment on people before profit, I think that their action speaks for them both. They don't want to be NATO involved. They don't want sanctions. And I've heard their interviews, but I'm afraid I would invite them on the front line of Ukrainian,
absolutely,
where the war is happening, and let them decide then, do we need to less sanctions and don't we need a NATO? Yes, Ukraine counted on a NATO, and I hope they will help us more because we are protecting ourselves and our survival. And at this dire strait time, we will need every help. And as I said, it's very good to sit here and say, look, we don't need this and we don't need that. So what do you propose us to do? Diplomacy failed. Ukraine are under attack and with survival, and we're fighting for our survival. Diplomacy could be only used as to finish the war. When we win the war, then the diplomacy will do. At the moment, when we're fighting for our survival, diplomacy fails.
Stand together.
And we need to stand together, as Una said. And I totally agree with her stance. And that position, neither here, neither there. So it's like we're right in the middle. They tried to invite us on their meetings, and we didn't want to because they against NATO. I believe as a Ukrainian that NATO is our ally. Maybe they don't do what we want them to do, and we're pushing for that. However, if we're dependent on the supply of their weapons, so we do need the help to survive. And as you know, when you get into that situation, that the only survival and the fight is last resort, you will apply to any avenues to help you to survive.
And Nick, I just want to ask Nick, what do you think, what impact do you think, or what difference do you think today's address from your president will make to Irish people, or indeed for Ukrainians?
Well, for us as a Ukrainian community, regrettably, the speech happening under these circumstances. I would be rather more if we would be in relation to our exchange of tourism, exchange of trade. However, we connecting at the time of war when we need it. And I think it was very, for us, it was very good opportunity to hear our president. And he's addressing the parliament, and he thanked Irish people and Irish government for the help the Irish is providing. And he mentioned that even though the Irish, as a politically neutral state, I think the humanitarian wise, the island cannot stay politically neutral. And that's some shifts that we hearing in Irish government, that as a private Irish citizen, I would like the Irish government send weapons to Ukraine, because that's what we need. And
you don't think it's good enough to say we're neutral, we'll do the humanitarian stuff, we can't get involved in any weapons or anything on the military side?
You see, Katie, I'm speaking with the passion and emotion, and I'm trying to hold them, but it is, I don't want Irish people or government think that we do not appreciate the help they do. And it is countable, and we're grateful. But if there is a chance, a slight chance, the Irish government do something else, something more proactive, I would encourage them to do that. It's that it's we are the situation. If you're drowning and the little straw is hanging out of the water, and if you could give me the hand and pull me by the straw, that make a difference to me. Will I survive or will I not? That's my appeal too. That's where we at. We're fighting for our survival. And as you've seen the pictures from the Bucha and Irpin, Russians are performing genocide of the Ukrainian. There is no denazification. Denazification means get rid of Ukrainian people. That's what it means. Now we understood what Mr. Putin put in this world. Just destroyed Ukraine and get rid of Ukrainian people.
Yeah. So, Una, you've been trying to get in there.
I was just asking Nikki there. Is it Nikki?
Yes, it's Nick.
Nikki, hi Nick, how are you?
Hi Una.
It's unbelievable that we can't do more, and I think maybe Ukrainian people here, the refugees here who've been in turmoil, should meet the people before profit and face them and say, what are you doing? You're not helping us by standing up to sanctions against Russia, because we all need to be united in it. And also, what's Putin going to do? He's going to take a land that is just desert, because nothing will be left. And is he happy then that he's killed so many millions of people and he's left with annihilation of the country? What's he do next? Where does he stop?
The cynic of Putin does not have borders. If he didn't achieve his objectives by conquering Ukraine by 3 days, so many of Western counties would give us a week to survive, he would use anything that he could just to prove the point. If he can't, he will destroy the cities. He will destroy. He does not care about any political, financial, or any other burnings that he might apply. He wants to destroy. Is a maniacal obsession of does not believe in, does not get into account that Ukraine is a separate nation. The Ukraine is a separate, independent, sovereign state. Is the absolute disregard.
Would you equate him with Hitler?
Well, I would put a precise equal, and I think now at this moment they are in the competition who's worse.
Who's created more havoc and death and whatever?
Because Hitler didn't have an atomic weapon. They was in the process of create one, but Putin has a nuclear weapon, and he will use that and to raise the stake as much as as he could to bully the West. And
well,
the
see,
bully
they
only
reckon,
could met with the bully.
Yeah, they reckon the Western people play poker, but the Russians play chess.
I think it's a poker name. I mean, Una, I am not going to get into technical disputes.
From what I'm gathering, you have
plenty of experience in this life. And I believe, you know, when the bullying someone, if you keep giving in, he won't stop. And
It takes one man to stop this madness, and somebody has to get to him. The Orthodox Church has to get to him.
Well, the Orthodox Church is the arm of Putin. It's one of the weapons that poison
and he blessed
Ukraine,
the
poison any Western society. And as you understood today, when you try to call any Russian Orthodox Church, the answer would does not believe. It's the same way after Bucha experience. The cynical of the Russian Federation spin attack, they call a UN emergency meeting in order to accuse Ukraine of them. And that's the tactic been used all the time. And it's not the first time. I could give you many examples from the Second World War, from the Katyn, when they destroyed 22,000 of Polish officers and then tried to put that on the Nazis. And Nazi admit to anything on the Nuremberg process apart of this. And they're saying that weren't us, that was Russian. So it's been through the history. That's what they do. Yeah. And I think West and Ukraine should took the initiative out of his hands. And rather than, you know, just act on what happened, pre-launch. That's why the Western country should give Ukraine whatever the Ukraine requires. Yeah.
Well, what do you think of that? Yeah. Sorry, Nick. Una, would you say we should go beyond the sanctions and you know,
I feel
give
I,
into
I'm
what
not
Nick
very
wants there,
minded or whatever. But I do feel that we have to be 100% behind Ukraine. And having been a neutral country, I think that's a bit weak. You know, I mean, God's sake. We have to be stand united. We have to be part of NATO. I definitely think we have to. Because if we can help in any way, this has to be the way.
There could be very big repercussions for that, Una, though.
Look what's happening in Ukraine. I mean, every minute you see the news, people are raped and plundered and killed. Children, people are putting their hands up, driving their cars to say they come out in peace, and they're shot in the back and things. That's not war. That is not war. That's terrorism. That's barbarism, you know. No words can express how I feel about Putin.
Yeah,
oh my
there
God,
are no words. Can I bring in Victoria, please? Victoria, good afternoon.
Hello,
Victoria.
Kate.
Yeah, you've been listening to Una and Nick there. You were also listening to your president this morning.
Yes, I was. And I wanted to thank you, Una and Nick, about talking what they were talking about.
Oh,
I absolutely support them. Thank you very much for your words.
What did you think of the address, Victoria?
Of Putin? Of Zelensky?
Of your president, of President Zelensky.
Yeah, I'm very proud of Ukrainian president, and I'm very proud of Ukraine. And I think the whole world has to support Ukraine because, you know, Russia is bombing Ukraine. And next to my city where I was born, Kherson, there is the city Zaporizhia. It has 6 times bigger nuclear power station. If one of the bombs will fall down on this nuclear power station, which is 6 times bigger than Chernobyl, the whole world will suffer. And don't think only about Ukraine. Think about yourself, because you will know that for sure that you were wrong if you wouldn't support Ukraine and you wouldn't bring sanctions against Russia, because the whole world will suffer.
What about Nick's call that we need to go beyond sanctions now?
I think that sanctions have to be done because they will reduce, they may stop the war, and may the war will be finished sooner. It means that less people will be killed, less people will suffer, less children will die from dehydration. It's very, very important. I think not one country in the world has to be neutral. It's important for Ireland to do sanctions, and probably this will be, it can stop the war.
What did you think when you saw those TDs who did not applaud your president?
I just wanted to ask them, do they know where they sleep tonight? Do they know if their children and grandchildren have a glass of water today?
Yeah.
In Ukraine, many children don't have this possibility to have a glass of water a day. Do they understand that? Do they understand that some people were building their houses for many years and then one bomb fell down and they have no house, they have nothing, they have nowhere to live, nothing to eat, they lost their brothers and sisters. If they can answer these questions, do they know? My mom is 83 years old. She was building the country together with other people after the Second World War. She knows how it is. And now she's 83. She has no access to anything. She can't see her grandchildren. She can't see her great-grandchildren. She's sitting in the cellar. She has one glass of water a day. Is that life in the 22nd century? Because this insane man, Putin, has his crazy ideas to kill every Ukrainian on this earth. Which right he has to do that? And if the world doesn't support Ukraine, this is not right. Ukraine is not as big country as Russia. Ireland is not big country as Russia or Ukraine, but maybe small countries can come together and say their point of view and put the sanctions against Russia. Do something little.
But I'm sure, and I just should say it because I've got their statement here in front of me again, Paul Murphy, Richard Boyd Barrett, Gino Kelly and Breed Smith, they were the four TDs we were talking about from People Before Profit. Like, they would say that they absolutely do feel for the Ukrainian people and the suffering, as Breed Smith says in the statement, the suffering that they are enduring at the hands of Putin. But they say that they think the sanctions are bolstering Putin back home in Russia, that he's using these sanctions to get more support from the ordinary people. Victoria.
I think only Putin is using something against somebody. People are trying to help Ukraine and try to do something about Ukraine. And Russian people have to start thinking. They have to start thinking and realizing. And if many countries do their sanctions and Russians will understand, why many big companies leave Russia? Why we don't have money? Why I work the whole month and money is not enough for one day to spend? Then when it is connected to their own personalities, then they will start thinking. Because after so many years of brainwashing, it's very hard for them to change their opinion. Yeah. And something has to make them to change this opinion. And sanctions is one of the reasons why they should be done.
Okay, will you stay with us, Victoria? I want to go to Ruth. Ruth, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie.
Yes,
I'm just ringing to, and I've, first of all, I would like to say that President Zelensky's address was simply magnificent. The way he laid it out, the appalling suffering of his people, and then what he's looking for from the world, I thought he couldn't have put it better. However, and I feel, slightly with trepidation saying that I do think People Before Profit, of which I am not a member, have a point that the ordinary Russians really tend to, any country tends to rally around their leader in a time of war, whether that war is just or unjustified, and we know in this case it is completely unjustified. And we saw that with Slobodan Milosevic. Unfortunately, we saw it much further back with World War II. So I'm just saying they have a point. I was also a little surprised to hear that there's no opposition in Ukraine. There is. It is always important to have an opposition in any country. Even if the opposition's points are not valid, it's the ultimate sign of democracy is for people to express an alternative view.
There's a very particular political situation in Ukraine, I think, that I'm sure Nick and Victoria will be quick to tell us. I'll just refer to that in the People Before Profit statement. They say it's worrying that the Zelensky government has banned opposition parties with almost 20% of the vote in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. That's not because we support those parties, but it's because it's a worrying attack on democratic rights, which undermines the struggle against invasion. There is a very I would absolutely suggest that the People for Profit would not support one of those particular political parties in any case. Maybe I'll just get Nick. Could you explain the situation with regard to the opposition parties?
Well, I'm very surprised to hear that anything being banned in the Ukraine. Even the TV station United to translate 25 hours news from different political kind of view. And as the war started, I think all the political party united behind the president. Like I didn't hear anything, like even any of the ex-president criticizing or mayor of Kiev criticizing. They have different political views, but I think once that they seen that they united behind one enemy, which is Russian Federation. And I think that's the right way to do, because when the war, when we will win the war, then there is a time to see what happened behind. At this time, there is no time from pulling each other apart, because that will help our common enemy to beat us.
Okay, but there has been, and I'm just looking at here, 11 Ukrainian political parties have been suspended because of their links with Russia. This is in the last number of weeks.
Oh, we're talking about different. That's on my personal opinion, they were collaborants of Russian, and even before the Russian invade, most of the representatives of this party left Ukraine.
Yes,
but most of the representatives or ex-representatives of this country. Becoming a governor on the occupied territories. By my opinion, they are traitors. And there is no time at the war for people who might stick the knife into your back. Or we actually, president and the government, trying to put the thing is already intact, the law about the collaborism, because there was not clear law in Ukraine about it. And if you openly supporting Russian idea and saying the Ruski Mir as a Ruski world is coming to help you when they're killing us.
Yes,
I'm afraid that's the right. You see, in Ukraine.
That's what I meant by the very particular political situation there in relation to those opposition parties.
A state of war, and we at war. And at that war, the government has pristine and superpowers in order to control inside of the country. I know the people before profit, as the Victoria says, ask them what the children have to drink. And they are in the comfort of their seats and their houses. But when the war is happening, I believe the one central command of that is the president, and all the vertical of the power should work under this. Once we win, then we'll come back into the democratic values. Democratic values is important, but not when the country at war. And as well for the people before profit, in their statement they said we do feel. I would ask them, what do they do?
Okay.
In order to help.
Ruth, and I know you're not speaking for people before profit.
No, I'm not. Oh, absolutely not. But it's an interesting. But you see, there is a mirror thing then that people will, unfortunately, because I think he's a dreadful, sinister figure, will rally behind Putin. Because of feeling the West are criticizing them, so it's an awful situation. I mean, what I feel so angry about is particularly Germany appeased this man for years, and was all about oil and gas. And I think that is Germany has a big question to answer.
But to be fair, Ruth, didn't everybody praise Angela Merkel? They thought that she had, you know, she was taking the route that she was going to bring Putin into the, you know, European ways and democratic ways through trade, and you know, by building that pipeline. From Germany, which apparently now is going to sit there having cost 11 billion euro to build, and is going to sit there with not a drop of anything going through it. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there was at that time a thinking that Putin, you know, should be, you know, brought in from the cold, and that was the way forward.
Well, I agree with that, but now it would appear that everybody underestimated what he was actually planning to do, and that, you know, to use the great old Irish expression, we're all taken for fools, and that basically he was pretending to go the democratic route, but there were a lot of signs that was not so when you see that 200 to 300 people have all the wealth, and basically he's like a feudal lord over the 300 of them. And if you go back on his history, I just looked him up there recently. He wasn't put in charge of getting food for his own people when he was working in the Lord Mayor's office in 1999. Mm-hmm. The food never turned up, and he got away with it. Yes. And he was in charge of distributing food to his own people. So this man has been a total maverick for a tremendous length of time. And there is terrible echoes in history about this. But yes. An attempt to civilize or democratize blinds us to the fact that on the ground in Russia, nothing had changed. That the way he changed the laws to make himself stay on ad infinitum, he can stay now, can 1336 or something. Yeah, 2036.
Ruth, will you stay with us, please? Ruth, I want to hang on to you, but I do need to take a break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Or if you want to call our WhatsApp line, it's 087 184 3709. 087 184 3709. I want to bring in Owen now. Owen, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, Owen, you are a member of People for Profit.
I am indeed, yeah.
So what did you make of the stance your representatives took today?
Yeah, well, I support it, and the reason I support it is we should be clear what they did. They did absolutely stand up out of respect for the Ukrainian people. We've been very clear that we oppose this war. It's an imperialist war of aggression by Putin. We should absolutely condemn it, and we should oppose it, and we do. However, it's also happening in a wider context of an effort to build support for NATO, to build support for militarization, and also to do away with Irish neutrality. And I think that given what was being said in Zelensky's speech was really kind of calling for this kind of escalation, that's why it wasn't applauded by the TDs. Now, that's not to say that we don't stand in solidarity with Ukrainian people, but we wouldn't support basically we wouldn't support NATO intervention. We think this would put add fuel to the fire and make things an awful lot worse. And as well as that, in relation to the sanctions being called for, it's really worth talking about the Russian anti-war movement, which was very, very significant at the beginning of this. There's been a massive crackdown on it, and thousands of people have been put in prison over it with very lengthy prison sentences. Really, the kinds of sanctions being put in place now are going to hurt those same people, and will allow Putin to paint those people at home as being pro-NATO stooges and so on. Worth noting as well, and just last thing I'll say is that the sanctions being introduced are targeting are going to basically hurt the poorest people hardest. And what they haven't done, and it's Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, or MEPs at European level, voted against an amendment from the left in the parliament, which basically noted how Russian oligarchs were washing their money through European tax havens, and this was allowing them to basically fund funding the Russian oligarchs, and calling for action on these tax havens. Now, I don't think that we're going to see that kind of action against Fine Gael, from Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil and so on, but I think it's the kind of action closing the tax havens that would allow us to go after Russian oligarchs and other oligarchs as well, and would stop the them having so much power and influence and so on. So I think when it comes to actually taking the action against the warmongers, we're the ones who have been consistent about this throughout. And there's a massive hypocrisy really from the government, really, which has been completely silent on war crimes from other countries like Israel and like Yemen and so on in the past.
Well, I think there's a good argument to be made in relation to equivalence with other military actions around the world. But when you hear, let's hear from them themselves. Victoria, I think we still have Victoria, do we?
Yes.
Yeah, Victoria, do you want to respond to Owen there? He's very strong in defence of what those TDs did today.
Do they understand this? Me Nartley, killer, killer. I wanted to ask them.
Sorry.
It means me Nartley, killer, killer. it's in Irish language, it means there is no strength without unity.
Yes,
if we are all together, so then the war can be won and the people will stop suffering. That's what I can say.
Yeah,
go on.
Yeah, I mean, is a fantastic saying and a slogan, and I think it's one that I completely ascribe to. But I think, you know, we have to talk about who is coming together and who is, you know, and I think in this that we are in solidarity with the Russian anti-war movement, and we need to build a global anti-war movement. And actually, that has to be, you know, ordinary people standing up and getting organised against all of the warmongers, be they NATO, be they Russia.
But can I ask you, Owen, would you support the lifting of sanctions right now?
Yeah, I think the sanctions are actually going to be detrimental. It's adding fuel to the fire. The people who can stop this war are the Ukrainian people and the Russian anti-war protesters. Those are the people that can actually put the pressure on to put an end to this war. And I think that
How can the Ukrainian people do any more than they're doing already?
Well, this is why obviously it won't be the Ukrainian people on their own. There has to be an anti-war movement, and the most important part of that anti-war movement is in Russia, I think.
So,
but you see, if Putin doesn't get money from Europe, if, for example, Germany will stop buying oil, for example, oil from Russia, so Russia won't get billions of euro to continue the war. Because war, it's not only about sufferings of people. It's about some rich people become richer and get much more money. How much money do you need to be happy? They get this money from suffering of children, old people, ordinary people. You know, ordinary people are suffering. They are raped, burnt, shot from the back. And that has to be stopped. And the sanctions can stop it. Because if Putin doesn't have money for war, he can stop the war. So it's not only ordinary people. It's governments have to come together and go against that. Because in the end, Putin can go further.
Yeah.
Not only to Ukraine, to other countries.
Does that strike you on the fact that, and I mean, it's been said widely in recent weeks, that we have basically handed Putin the money to wage this war, to put together his war chest, because we've been buying so much gas and oil from Russia, and that's how he has funded this war.
Well, first of all, I mean, this is all happening in the context of a global climate emergency. Where we are buying gas, of course, from Russia. We're also going to be, importing fracked gas. We buy gas and oil from the United States, which is, really over the past few decades has been the biggest war criminal of them all. So I think the ordinary people who are standing up and against this war, I'm in solidarity with them. But when it comes to my government, who has allowed US warplanes to come through Shannon, who has been completely hypocritical on Palestine, I don't think that they're really acting in good faith, and I don't think the sanctions that they're introducing are actually going to work either. And there are studies showing that I think it's about there were studies done recently on sanctions, and only in about 30% of cases were these found to actually be in any way effective. But the main thing I think is that the sanctions are essentially an escalation. It's throwing fuel on the fire. And what we need is a massive anti-war movement, in particular in Russia, and we need basically to push for peace and push for diplomacy.
But you see,
and
I hear what you're saying, and I accept you're coming at it from good faith, but I'm so conscious, and I'm really, really conscious actually with Victoria in particular, because Victoria, like, your family are living under Russian occupation.
That's
right. Right now.
That's right.
I don't agree
with Owen, because you're saying that sanctions, you think the sanctions won't help. I disagree with you, because if you don't have money, you wouldn't buy a car, would you? If Putin doesn't have money, he wouldn't be able to pay the soldiers to go and kill Ukrainians. And every sanction, every country which they stop collaborating with Russia, it can help to reduce the amount of money Putin is getting from Europe and from America. And that can reduce the time of war. It can stop the war in the end. And that, after that, Russians who are brainwashed for many years, they will start understanding, okay, why I don't have money? Why I work the whole month and I don't have enough money to live on this money during one day? Why is that? And they will start thinking. And after they start thinking by themselves, not only watching these TV programs which Russia is showing them, then they will start going against their own government, and then the war will be won. But they have to understand that. And that's, if they were brainwashed for more than 10 years, it's very hard for them to change their mind within 1-2 days. And every day matters, because every day children are dying, people are dying, young boys, 18-year-old boys are dying. For what?
Victoria, would you stay with us, please? Owen, stay with us. I need to take a break, but we'll continue with this discussion after these.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And we still have Owen and Victoria on the line, but I want to bring in Derek now as well. Derek, good afternoon.
Hi, how's it going?
Yeah, Derek, again, you were watching or listening to that debate.
I was, yeah, I was listening to it. I think it's absolutely disgraceful that people before profit didn't applaud. And I just think they're completely misinformed. We should do more to support the Ukrainian people. And I swear I'll never vote for them again. I think that they're absolute clowns.
Did you vote for them in the past?
I have, in the last election I did, and I'll never vote for them again. I think it's appalling what they've done.
You don't accept, I mean, you heard Owen there making the case that, you know, he believes sanctions are actually going to cause more problems and more trouble in the long run.
Well, I have a lot of friends in Russia. I've travelled over there quite a few times. They are disgusted by the war, what's going on. And they agree with the sanctions. I have friends, I've been to Kiev only last October. I've done a bit of travelling over there. And it's just, it's horrific what's going on. You know, like I spoke to a Russian person this morning through Instagram. And they just think it's the war is totally appalling. And they agree with the sanctions. But the people who weren't talking to it, they told me that they do agree with the sanctions. Because it's the only way to stop this.
Owen, can you, what about the idea that the sanctions will make people ask questions? Russians, yep, who may not have questioned the regime up to now will, as Victoria says, when there's no money coming in, when their money had the inflation has you know shrank their paycheck, when it will cause ordinary Russians to ask questions of the regime.
Yeah, well, I mean, sorry, hear myself back there. Sorry. I think that there's precedence for these kinds of things. I don't agree with it. And I think we can look at, for example, in Iraq in the 90s when the United States imposed sanctions on Iraq because of Saddam Hussein's war on Kuwait. The result of it, obviously a much more impoverished country, Iraq, than Russia is, but nevertheless, I think there's I think we should look at the impact of that, which was that 500,000 children died as a result of the sanctions. It didn't actually weaken Saddam Hussein. If anything, it allowed him it strengthened him. It brought it tied people to the regime. It meant that that Saddam Hussein was able to go any people who were standing up against Saddam Hussein. He was able to tar them as being pro United States, pro and so on, pro imperialist. And I think that's precisely what Putin is doing now to anyone who's standing up against the war. In fact, he's introduced prison sentences as long as 15 years for basically treason to Mother Russia. And so I think it will have, in fact, the opposite effect. It's not that he's going to ramp up the kind of jingoism, ramp up the kind of pro-war kind of propaganda. And he will be able to point to the sanctions as a kind of a weapon of war, which is what sanctions are, of economic warfare, as being, you know, and he is the protector of Russia and so on. That's what he'll be saying.
That's their own business. We can't, Ireland should not be in a position to turn around and criticise and not support Ukraine because of what Russia is doing. We should be supporting Ukraine. And your argument about Saddam Hussein, that is pointless. But we're not talking about Saddam Hussein. We're talking about the invasion of Ukraine. Like, it's appalling what people before Cropper are doing. We should stand. Even Zelensky said it. Ireland needs to do more. We do need to do more. And I swear to God, that Claire Daly, what she done a couple of weeks ago was a disgrace as well in the EU. But anyway, we're not talking about war.
Can I come back in?
You know, I never vote for people before Cropper after what they've done today. It's a disgrace. And we need to start doing more for the Ukraine people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Owen. That's absolutely Derek's prerogative if he doesn't want to vote for People for Profit again.
I'm interrupting you because it's a disgrace what you're doing. The amount of people who I've spoken to this morning, they're all saying it's an absolute disgrace what they've done.
Okay, let Owen back in there for a minute, Derek. Thank you.
So we do think there's a way of ending this war, which is not more warmongering and throwing more fuel on the fire, and that is an international anti-war movement, and this is precisely why People for Profit has been
organized a protest at the Russian embassy,
for example, in solidarity with the Ukrainian people and in solidarity with the anti-war protesters.
Derek, I will let you back in, but I can't.
I haven't interrupted anybody.
Derek, I'll just ask you to hold off for a moment and we let Owen make his response. Yeah. Owen.
As I was saying, there is a way of ending this war, and that's through the building of an international anti-war movement, which is precisely why People for Profit has protested at the Russian embassy in solidarity with the Ukrainian people and in solidarity with the Russian anti-war protesters. I think what Derek is saying in relation to, well, first of all, he said about the sanctions, well, the sanctions will work. And then if you give evidence for why you think the sanctions won't work, he says, well, we think we should do it anyway. What I'm saying is actually the sanctions will make things worse. They will not help, and it will just escalate the war and bring us possibly closer to, by the way, shutting down the central bank, essentially, freezing all the bank reserves of the Russian central bank. Doing that, that was what was the threat that was held over Ireland and Greece, basically, if we didn't accept austerity. That was from, in order to discipline, peripheral EU states for breaking financial rules. It's interesting to see it now being used. Well, not really interesting. It's quite worrying to see it being used against a nuclear power, because I think it's quite dangerous what's happening. It's an escalation. It could lead to all-out military conflict between NATO and Russia. And the people who will suffer the most from that are the Ukrainian people. Things are bad right now, but if this escalates into a conflict between NATO and Russia, an all-out military conflict between them, that you're talking about World War III, the worst people that will be hit with that are the Ukrainians.
Mind you, I'd say Ukrainian feels like they're well in the middle of World War III right now, particularly, you know, people like Victoria's family who are, in an occupied city as we speak. I just want to bring in John Moylan now. John, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie. How are you?
Yeah, you wanted to respond to Owen there.
Yeah, I think, first of all, and then probably in concert with some of the other commentators, I think he's just demonstrating how far out of touch and irrelevant People Before Profit is. Based on what he said there today, the People Before Profit, the three letters of that organisation now stand for Putin Before People, and in particular the Ukrainian people. He's waffling on there about anti-war policies and everything else, and that's fine and that's correct. But we literally do not have the time. Whilst we're talking here on the radio today, people are being hurt and killed and worse in Ukraine right now. So talking about years, programs and sanctions and the length of time that take is irrelevant. We need action. And what I'm worried about is that the view taken by the outside world of Ireland today of a section of its elected members refusing to side with Ukraine. They haven't been seen to side with anything, but they have been seen to side of not standing with Ukraine. I think it's appalling.
Okay.
And I think
John, I'll just say...
It is true. You did it in the Dáil today. You did not support Ukraine. That's fact. It's now on the Dáil record, and you can go on the RT player and watch it back. That's on the record.
People can read it. Yeah, absolutely. It is on the record, and people should go back, and they can look at the speeches that our TDs made, explaining why we stood up in solidarity with the Ukrainian people, but didn't applaud speeches calling for escalation and for sanctions.
How can you escalate past the point where we are, where genocide and children are being killed? And as of this morning, it's been reported that Russia has started to ship in mobile crematoria to cover their tracks so they don't get caught with another Bucha. Yeah. How can you possibly tell me things can get worse from that?
I don't know what John's record on being anti-war is, but I know People Before Profit's record, which has stood against war in Iraq, against war on Libya, against Russia's war on Chechnya, when actually others were silent on it. And even actually when Russia went into Kazakhstan, Russian troops were sent in and the Kazakh state crushed a workers' uprising. Earlier this year, People Before Profit were the ones that raised the absolute barbarism that was happening there and called it out, while others were silent on it.
So you're using that as an excuse on our anti-war principles here.
When you're anti-war, you're anti-war all of the time, and that means opposing any military escalation by our own government and our own basically imperialist bloc, which is NATO.
Actually, you do need an election. You need an election from the electorate who put you in there. I can guarantee you that if you went to the electorate tomorrow as a nation, or that we did, and asked the Irish people, would you pack your neutrality for a week to allow us to ship whatever small token of arms that we could send from the Curragh tomorrow, that your position will be completely untenable. I have no doubt. I haven't met a single person, socially, anecdotally or otherwise, that would disagree with that point of view. But yours is unique because yours is fundamentally and widely, not just across Europe and Ireland and the world, unsupportable and untenable.
The latest polling shows 62% of people in favour of neutrality and about 20-something against, so I don't think...
Neutrality does not mean defending those who need our help. Neutrality means not offending. There's a distinct difference, and if you can't tell that, then frankly, you should write your letter of resignation and hand it in now and do this country a favour.
I'm a member of People for Profit, so I'm not sure who I'd be resigning to, but nevertheless... I think there are things that we can do for Ukrainian people. I think we should be sending humanitarian aid. I think we should be taking as many refugees as we can. We also need a state-owned building company to actually speed up the building of houses, because we already have a massive housing crisis, and we're seeing this government reopen all direct provision centres that they said that they wouldn't open because they're not going to have the capacity to deal with the Ukrainian refugees that are coming in. I think we should welcome all refugees, Ukrainian refugees, Yemeni refugees, no matter where the refugees come from. And we also need to build the housing and the facilities for those people and the healthcare, take our private hospitals back into public ownership, for example. All of these things.
Okay,
Owen,
you've run through the entire People Before Profit election platform there. But look, will you hang on for me, please? And John, hang on. I need to take a break, but we'll continue after these.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And our WhatsApp number is 087-184-3709, 087-184-3709. And we were listening to Owen there. Geraldine, you wanted to come in on this.
Hi, Katie. You're surviving the war of words. First of all, I think we're getting diverted into party politics, and... if I choose to, I can look up any party's manifesto. I don't need to hear it from A to Z. And I really do think that we need to continue what we're doing, support Ukraine every single way we can, except with offensive weapons.
Yes,
our neutrality isn't going to gain anything for them.
So,
Dear Katie, all political parties at the moment, I think, are so busy warring with each other that they need to drop the offensive weapons and deal today, 6th of April, with helping people coming in, helping them to get here, helping to match them with all the people who've offered to share their homes and their spaces with them. And I don't think that our tempers or... Oh, sorry, my dog is just saying hello to another dog. There's no war going on here. We need to keep our minds focused, our energy focused, and address this in the way that we can, which is with kindness and welcoming.
Okay, Geraldine, I leave you go because the line isn't fantastic for us there, but we do get your point, which is let's stay away from the party political stuff and deal with the real matter that is at hand. Adrian, good afternoon to you.
How are you?
Good, Adrian. You've been listening to our debate.
Yep. I just wanted to say that I think people before profits viewpoint is at best naive, and at worst it's like verging on Chamberlain-esque levels of appeasement. Like, I mean, sanctions are meant to work. They're meant to hurt the country that they're targeting. Otherwise, what's the point in doing it? I mean, I wonder, did they oppose sanctions against apartheid in South Africa?
Owen?
Yeah, I can ask that. Well, look, first of all, I agree 100% with the previous caller there, Geraldine. Mm-hmm. I think we need to be welcoming Ukrainian refugees, and we should be actually sending humanitarian aid. And as a neutral country, we're in a position to be able to do that. And we absolutely shouldn't be sending offensive weapons. I think the issue with apartheid South Africa was that you had here a country which was supported by Western imperialism, supported by Britain, by the United States, by the EU, and so on. And what brought about the sanctions and the boycott of apartheid South Africa was a global movement in those countries against their own governments, basically in favour of cutting their ties with and removing their support for apartheid South Africa. So that then the Black Liberation Movement, I suppose, in South Africa could then overthrow the apartheid system, which they did.
Okay,
do.
So in that
there's a difference.
Go on.
And what's happening here, and the parallel here with South Africa is the Russian anti-war protesters in Russia who need to be opposing their own government. And actually, are the sanctions being brought in here by our own side, I suppose, are to gain an advantage for themselves, and it's actually going to add fuel to the fire in an interim. It's a brutal invasion of Ukraine, first of all, but it's also there's an inter-imperialist conflict happening here, and that could escalate into something a lot worse.
Okay, Adrian.
Well, I mean, I agree with supporting the Russian anti-war protesters. But unfortunately, there's about 14,000 have been thrown in jail already.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have to do something. You can't just say give humanitarian aid and wag your finger at Putin, because as going back to like Grozny and Chechnya and Syria, he doesn't actually care. Like, so, I mean, public opinion means nothing to him. The only thing that matters to him is if his own people turned against him. So it's all very well saying, you know, the sanctions are hurting people, but they're meant to hurt people. That's the whole point of it. You know, his own people have to rise up eventually against them.
Do you accept, Adrian, what Owen is saying there, that somehow the sanctions in South Africa were different? Because
I think we're dancing on the head of a pin there, to be honest with you. Sanctions are sanctions. I mean, the Western world, in effect, has united against Russia and is imposing sanctions now. Now, all right, maybe the governments are the ones who impose them, but their governments in most countries have been totally supported by the population in imposing sanctions.
And can I ask Adrian a question? Why haven't the same government put sanctions on, say, Saudi Arabia over what they're doing in Yemen?
100%, but that's a bit of a straw man argument. You know, it's actually nothing to do with this issue. I'm not a massive supporter of US foreign policy or NATO or anything like that, but yeah. I think you're sort of deflecting here from the argument. That's a separate issue, and it's a very valid issue. But, you know,
to illustrate the point that these sanctions are not being done for the sake of the Ukrainian people. It's been done to gain an advantage over Russia in an interim period.
Yeah, quite right, because Russia has to be... Because what other way are you going to defeat Russia in this war?
But the point I'm making is that when you say that it's they're meant to hurt, the people they're going to hurt are ordinary Russian people. It's not. I don't see that it's actually going to make. Well, we'll see. I mean, it could make a difference. God knows, we'll see what happens. But
won't it hurt? Owen, what about? Yeah. Would it not hurt the oligarchs? Isn't that one of the main planks of this? Surely to God, this is one of the main bases of the regime in Russia.
Well, when it actually comes to it, there was a motion in the European Parliament, an amendment to the motion on sanctions, calling for an investigation into, basically calling for, noting how the tax havens were allowing the oligarchs to basically profiteer massively and wash their money. And the IFSC is a prime culprit in this, the IFSC in the City of London. And this, and closing these tax havens and taking action on this would actually be the best way to stop the Russian oligarchs. Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil both voted against that, and the European Parliament voted against that. So, to be honest, when we're talking about targeting the oligarchs, you see them make an example. You see the British government make an example of Abramovich, but overall, really, they're not really doing it. And the kind of action on the tax havens, they won't do, because that would in turn would come back and would bite them, because it would hurt their own oligarchs and the other billionaires that they protect. So it's completely hypocritical, I think.
But the big sanction
that's going to cause, that is causing havoc, is the freezing of the preventing the Russian Central Bank from selling its reserves, and that is going to just hurt ordinary people. Not the oligarchs.
Okay, I want to bring in Wendy. I'm just watching the clock here, and I want to get Wendy in on this. Wendy, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Wendy. Go on.
I am just speaking as a mother here today with Irish children, and I have a message. And I don't want to be mean, but there seems to be a lot of armchair generals out there, and I'm going to call them armchair generals because they're calling for more actions than sanctions and stuff like this. Are they willing to take up arms and lead armies into Europe? Are they willing to take the responsibility of Irish men and women, because of gender equality, going over to foreign lands and fight a war? And it's terrible what's going on in the Ukraine. It really, really is. But you kind of have to look at a bigger picture. If the rest of Europe does come in, you know, the people calling for more action, you know, I'm presuming this means like getting NATO involved in war. Are they going to come to my door when my children get killed in a foreign land and say that they're sorry? Do you know? And not only that, what about the millions of Russians when they decide to leave Russia? Are we going to take them in? Do we have the capacity in Europe to do that? Do we have capacity in Ireland to do it? Because if you do it for one, you're going to have to do it for everybody. So are people being hypocrites? I don't know. But I'd love the armchair generals who are on that show at the moment to explain to me how they will justify my sons and my daughter to go to Europe and fight a war.
Adrian, I don't know if you're one of the armchair generals.
I'd love to be. I don't think it was ever mentioned to anyone in Europe. I thought NATO made clear that they're not going to get involved at all costs. They're making sure that they'll never get directly involved in a war. I mean, with that attitude, where do we stop? Will we let Hitler take over everything? I mean, is it just a case we don't want to get involved, so just let him do what he wants? But it's like the Ukrainians are saying, Ukrainian now, who's next? Is it going to be Latvia? You know, is Riga going to be invaded? Where do you stop? Or do you just let him because we're afraid of what he might do? Do we let him run, do whatever he wants? I mean, where does it stop?
Wendy?
Does everything have to be about war, though? I mean, does it have to involve
NATO?
Why
didn't the Euros ever invade Asia?
Why, the sanctions is not enough at the moment. Like, even the anti-war committee that they were talking about there, can we not try that and use the war part and NATO involvement to the very last? And let's not forget, we are the back door into Europe. You know, if NATO does get involved, do you think Putin is going to sit there and wait for the Americans to arrive? We are the back door into Europe. Our government has made sure of that when they allowed planes to land in Shannon.
Paul, if I can get to you before we go.
Hello, yes.
Yeah, Paul, you wanted to respond.
Yes, yeah, please. I know you're tight on time. No, just to express my complete anger with People Before Profit. I've never, ever taken the opportunity to come on radio or participate in any programme, but I'm just sickened, to be quite honest with you. I'm very angry.
you don't accept what Owen was saying there, that they have, you know, a long history of standing against all war at all, in all circumstances.
The party has a long history.
Yes.
No, well, look, at some point in life, you have to take a stand. You know, like, we can go through the whole philosophy of right and wrong, evil and the whole lot, but what's going on at the minute is the slaughtering of people by a dictator and trying to say who's going to come out the worst side of it, as in the normal Russian people from sanctions. It's absolute crazy. We should be doing, and as regards armchair generals and all that, that's another load of baloney. We've got to do more than we're doing, for starters. But to see these guys in my country, in my Dáil, coming out with this claptrap, they should be run out of the Dáil. Simple.
Okay, Paul, I'm going to have to leave it there and take our last break.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And that's it for today. Elaine Conlon was our BCO, Jamie Doyle was on sound, and Grace Waller produced. I'll hand you over now to Ray Darcy.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.